And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember.
And a beard and declare your independence from me, Ernest Hancock, here in Tony Pie, Arizona, or out west of Phoenix, and on the Love Bus, a little old place where we can get James Bovard to come on. Yay! His new article out this morning, it's going to, cause a stir. You know, it's Collective Guilt and the New Witch Hunt. Yep. You know, James Bovard is a libertarian author who has written for years about law enforcement overreach, warned about the potential pitfalls of anti-terror legislation that empowers law enforcement. I'm very concerned about the use of a broad brush, assuming that anyone who criticized or raised doubts about the 2020 election should be charged with sedition, if not treason, he said. Another problem here is that since 2016 or so, many liberals have put a halo over the head of the FBI. They have lost a historical memory and the common sense that liberals often had in the past when asked if they wanted to give blank checks to federal agents. Now, it's in his article, he's got a Washington Post article here. He's been in everything. You know, he's written a bunch of books, Public Policy Hooligan in 12, Attention Deficit Democracy in 06, The Bush Betrayal in 04, and Lost Rights, The Destruction of American Liberty, 94. He's written New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Playboy, Washington Post, New Republic, Reader's Digest, on and on and on. Translated in Spanish, Arabic, Japanese, Korean. I mean, amazing. James Bovard is on the show. James, welcome, man.
Hey, Ernie, how you doing?
I'm better now. You know, this is everything that's happened. We only had you on a couple of times during 2020, so now's the time to tell me all about 2020, but even more importantly, 21. What the hell do we got to look forward to? But tell us about your most recent article here in the American Conservative.
Oh, Lord. Okay. That's a story that came out this morning. It's title. It's on it's on the notion that anybody who criticized the 2020 election results or how the votes were counted is basically guilty of treason. And according to at least one or two prominent Democrats, they also have blood on their hands for the protesters who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. Everybody is guilty who made any criticism, and Democrats are expanding the definition of treason. And some folks think we just kind of concede on this issue. It's, then peace will break out. But other Democrats like AOC are talking about how the government needs a truth commission and needs to stop prohibiting people from saying false things anymore. And she also says that the federal government needs to do the actual liberation of the South. You know, it didn't work out so well last time.
What does she mean by that?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of hard to tell what she means sometimes, but it did bring back memories of the late 1860s and 1870s when you had a federal military dictatorship ruling that part of the country. And that was part of what spurred the most corrupt presidential election in American history, 1876.
Wow. Did you ever anticipate it getting this bad?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ernie, I mean, think of the time after 9/11 when people like you and I who were calling bullshit were labeled traitors. I mean, look.
Freedom
fries.
This
is nasty. I mean, it also brings back to mind, I heard from someone that on the day of the Oklahoma City bombing, there was an editor who I dealt with at a large New York paper who turned to one of his colleagues and said, yeah, these are Bovard's people that did the bombing. And, you know, I'd never been to Oklahoma.
Yeah, no, I get that. You know, Ernie and his people. You know, Bovard and his people. Yeah, I understand. But that what they're really saying is that people that share that mindset and they don't like it. You know, because you got a lot of evidence to demonstrate that there's a reason why you have that mindset against these guys. Because you've been really critical of the FBI and law enforcement and so on. You got any better feelings? Are they getting any better?
Things are healing.
Yeah.
Okay. I was hoping I'd get a laugh. I mean, damn, if that line doesn't get a laugh, you know, this dude needs to stop decaf, you know, if that line didn't work. I talked to Washington Post reporter Dave Weigel, really good dude, and that was where the quote was from you started the program with. Where I'm saying it's basically appalling. Since 2016, liberals have put a halo over you know, the FBI. People were buying votary candles, prayer candles, with Robert Mueller's picture on him because they had such great hopes that the FBI would topple Trump. But it's like FBI or former FBI chief. And it's like there are some honest FBI agents. So there are some cases the FBI has broken that were important. But this is an agency with a long and sordid history, and if we're going to pretend, well, this is typical of how history is being expunged. There was never any election fraud. The FBI has never done anything wrong, and anyone who disagrees is guilty of sedition. I mean, to see these liberals talking about, okay, you know, this and that person, Justice Department as well, should be prosecuted for sedition. How did that work out for John Adams?
Right.
That's why
well,
Thomas
talk about
Jefferson
that, you know, the Sedition Act that John Adams did, why he did it, and what the result was, and here comes Jefferson and so on. So go ahead and talk about the initial cause of the first sedition stuff. Go.
Well, go. All right. I should add more coffee. So the John Adams and the Federalist Party were very much a pro-government, pro-big government party, pro-government power party. Jefferson was the head of the opposing party, and he had very different ideas. He was a lot more, at least rhetorically, in favor of freedom. But so what the Federalists in Congress did was pass a law that made it a crime to basically hurt the government's image. I don't have the law or the thing right here in front of me, but it was basically saying that anyone who made disparaging remarks that hurt the reputation of the government.
Yeah, no, it's real general. It's conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or a monarch. I mean, you're like saying there. It's called campaigning. I mean, wow. And to make that illegal is dangerous as hell at the beginning of this country. Well, at the beginning of the U.S. Constitution for this country. I see that's when it went off the rails, man. You know, I'm Declaration of Independence guy,
right? And keep in mind that this is a law that was passed less than a decade after the Bill of Rights was codified,
right.
And the Bill of Rights was very clear: Congress shall pass no law, on freedom of speech, freedom of the press. Didn't matter. So they were explicitly destroying the Bill of Rights, and utterly perilous, but they got away with it for a couple years, but then there was a huge backlash. And it's interesting to see people using some of the same rhetoric now, that anybody who's made criticisms of the 2020 vote count is guilty of subverting the government.
And needs subverting sometimes. I mean, you know, this is fundamental stuff, which You know, Lost Rights was a book by James Bovard that defined a lot of this stuff. We'll be right back.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the Crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the Crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The Crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yep, it's good to talk to you, man. I need, you know, we'll get through all this stuff, this edition, what's happening, but I want to get into some predictions of 21, where this is going, because damn, you know.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see the how hateful things have become. And you know, I mean, it's the story that came out on Wednesday, I guess, on AIR, then Zero Hedge. I mean, I am very opposed to this idea of throwing the book at anybody who was at that Capitol protest, the unlawful entry charge, because, okay, I mean, shit, you and I have probably been plenty of places where we technically shouldn't have been. We didn't, you know, we didn't assault anybody. We didn't steal anything. We didn't set things on fire. But to let the feds have this unlimited power on, you know, unlawful entry, I mean, there have been times where the entire Capitol area has been labeled unlawful to enter. So, except by journalists and government officials.
Yeah, that this whole thing was a setup. They, you know, it was a plan to stop whatever the hell Trump, I mean, to think that he was going to smoothly get and lay out his evidence and do what he wanted, and all they had to do is let some people in and some targeted people. You know, it's sad that a woman got shot, and I'm kind of wondering what that was about. But, I mean, what do you think is going to happen? You start banging, breaking doors down and windows and guys with guns. I mean, I'm not sure what the thought process
was. I don't know, but, I mean, yeah, just to see Schumer's, you're proposing to put everybody who was there on the no-fly list, I mean, this is insane. And to do it based on photos or videos that, well, yeah, that might be Bob. Okay, let's put Bob on the no-fly list. I mean, this is such crap.
Yeah, I'm...
I don't know.
All right, when we come back, well, I want to finish up with the sedition thing and how that, you know, what happened with it, you know? Because it, I remember, yeah, you know, you go to grade school...
I'm kind of cold on that, so...
I'm sorry?
I'm as far as 1798, I'm cold on that. I've been
the philosophy. I mean, you did a good job of it. You know, less than a decade after Bill of Rights gets ratified, Adams is in there, and he doesn't like being criticized. I pass a law of you're not allowed to, you know, violate, you know, my sensibilities or something. And then, of course, that was beaten back, the backlash on it, and now here we are again. So I want to go down that road a little bit. All right, here we're coming back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And James Bovard. We left it off, sedition. This was, as a grade school student, you go in, you learn history and everything, and it used to be in the history books. I don't know what the hell's in there now, but you talked about the Anti-Sedition Acts that was done by Adams, that he didn't like being criticized, and you can't do that, and we got to have, you know, respect for authority, and I pass a law. Well, of course, that got a lot of pushback, and it became an example. Were there any case law? Did it get struck down by Supreme Court? Was it taken away? And then why are we seeing it again? I mean, what's going on?
Oh, God. As I mentioned in the break, I'm a little cold on the 1790s history. My understanding is that the laws were either expired or when Jefferson won in 1800, the Congress canceled the law. So I don't recall the actual details, but there was a real odiousness to that. Yeah. But it's interesting. There was a guy, one of those PBS historians who did a book on, John Adams, a wonderful guy, and I think it had like three sentences on the Alien and Sedition Acts. I mean, it's typical of how, it's the same thing with books on Abraham Lincoln and habeas corpus. Oh, that didn't turn up on the index. Doesn't turn up anyplace. Typical of how pro-government historians whitewash some of the worst abuses of their favorite presidents. But the whole part of what exasperates me about sedition, it's vague, and it's basically a tool for prosecutors, and it can quickly be turned into a thought crime. It's different if someone is out there physically attacking government officials. I mean, you and I were chatting about the Capitol protests on January 6th. There were a small number of people there who attacked police, and we have that on video. We have that in photographs. Yeah, it's fine to prosecute those folks. However, the feds are also talking about, dropping a hammer on anybody who was inside the Capitol for being unlawful entry. But it'd be easy for the government to out. I mean, this is the same stuff we saw with free speech zones under George W. Bush. They would outlaw speech in almost everywhere except these tiny little areas that were often way away from the main action and surrounded by chicken wire. So, well, there's your free speech. Yeah, okay, great.
I'm looking at what do you think it's going to be used for? I mean, they keep slinging around this word. Is there some legislation? Is there something that they can be guilty of?
Thanks, Woodrow Wilson, for that. Yeah, there's a number of laws which are pretty vague, and some that were pushed through during the First World War, and they've been used every now and then. Part of the problem is that with the current mood in Congress, with everybody basically wanting to be act like they're, oh, it's not us, we're good guys. It might be easy for Biden to push through new laws on this. And the FBI has a long history of stretching the laws far beyond the actual wording as far as going after bad guys. I assume the FBI is going to want to ingratiate themselves into the new administration and so bring in some really high-profile lawsuits against critics. Yeah, that could help at budget time.
Oh, this is... So what do you think, predicting doing the Bovard crystal ball thing in the 21, where's this going?
Healing, national healing.
Shoot.
I don't know.
You're not serious, are you?
I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You're not serious, are you? This is not a healing, they say that, but that's, no.
Ernie, this is my laugh line. My laugh line didn't work.
All right.
No, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's this, I've been surprised at the media and intellectual stampede to vilify everybody who raised doubts about the 2020 election. I mean, there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of smoke. That doesn't prove the election was stolen. But, I mean, to make it de facto a crime to even question the election results, I mean, this is a recipe for destroying democracy, because people need to be able to say what they think and challenge.
Yeah. What's your thought process? What are you thinking happened? Do you even venture a guess?
As far as the 2020 election?
Yeah.
It was very rascally. And, there were 65 million mail-in votes. The New York Times has said that mail-in votes are vastly more prone to fraud. I agree with the New York Times. It doesn't happen often. There were a lot of late changes in procedures in a number of states that were dubious, if not illegal or unconstitutional, as far as how the Constitution says that the states have to tally their electoral votes. There were a lot of procedures, like with these ballot harvesting and these, you know, drop boxes. There was a lot of questions how those went out. Trump has said that he won the election by a landslide. You know, that is complete BS. I think, you know, Biden may or might have gotten more more votes total. Real question is, there's like 3, 4, 5 states where it was quite close, and which could determine the Electoral College outcome. And my impression is that there's not really been a bona fide serious analysis or audit of some of those results. However, that doesn't mean that Biden stole the election. It just means that there's a shitload of doubt.
Yeah, I'm, and they want to keep it there. Hey, you know, they don't care. And we won, and we're in charge, and get over it. And what about this QAnon thing that was, you know, a fog over everything? I knew from the beginning, anybody comes to me with that, I go, I don't know if it's a good guys, bad guys, or whatever, but it's definitely a psyop. They're wanting you to something. And the big thing that I got out of it is it was necessary as a steam valve. Don't worry about it. Trust the plan. Stay over there. Relax. We got it taken care of. And that's the problem that I saw in this whole thing, you know, the last 5 years or so, has been everybody is always waiting for somebody else to fix it for them. You know, I'm going to join this club. I'm going to wear this jersey. I'm going to buy this stuff. I'm going to clap, you know, for this thing. This guy got my support, this party, this thing. It's always somebody else. And I'm going, I don't see Americans taking responsibility for their own little anarchist decisions of where they spend their money, how they raise their children, you know, what they live in, how they live. I mean, we got to take responsibility, and we keep waiting for somebody to fix it for us. Is there somebody going to fix it for us, James?
Biden.
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, Ernie, those are good points you make, but the system is rigged in a lot of different ways. It makes it very difficult for people to achieve that level of independence, self-reliance. Yeah.
Achieving our independence and self-reliance. When we come back, James Bovard. You know, there's, you know, he's got a bunch of stories and articles in the hopper. I am sure about what, whom, you know, does he wait for the next story? Has he already got a plan? We'll find out if James got a plan when we come back in just a little bit. Yeah, what's your plan, man?
Oh, I don't know. Drink heavily.
Yeah. Are you still in D.C. area?
Yeah, still in D.C. area.
Are you gonna like, you know, is that your, you know, you're gonna die there? Are you ever gonna retire and go out and live in the Appalachian?
I've always been out of place here. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, at some point, it'd be nice to move back to the mountains.
Well, damn it, you got the look. Yeah, just put some overalls on you and freaking. Huh. Have you had a still, man? You'd be set.
Well, every now and then it comes in handy to be able to blend in.
Yeah, you blend. I don't know. What's your impression of this administration? Is it rocket sled to communism or what?
It's basically pro-government. It's pro-government power. It's untrustworthy. I mean, he is bringing in a lot of rascals, like I assumed he would. So I don't know. I mean, it's I don't trust them at all. Trump has said and done so many stupid things after the election. It's like, oh God, okay, you know, AMF, dude.
I'm not a fan of any of these guys. I don't care, but I just saw Trump as a side effect. You know, it was people pissed off. You know, but, you know, he gave them, there wasn't anything real. He at least didn't get us into major war. Right? I give him that. But, you know, he was buddying up to the Federal Reserve. And how much can he, you know, we got enormous debts, more under him. We got, you know, this idea of stimulus. We have and nothing real got challenged. You know, it's I love great people. I love police and military, and I love the great people, and they're great and wonderful, and kept bringing in bad guys. I thought he was highlighting them, and so he could fire them or something. I don't know. I'm waiting for Trump the movie. You know, when they, you know, I what are you waiting on? Trump the movie, man. You know, give me the behind the scenes, the movie. They'll show, you know, Melania in her lingerie lounging on, you know, the in the White House. I mean, you know, whatever. You know, entertain me. So I'm not seeing that there was anything substantial done other than Patriot candy for people for a while, thinking that something was going to get done, and it didn't. And I don't know if it was on purpose or, you know, lack of understanding of how bad. I do think that Trump was surprised at how corrupt D.C. was and how blatant and how deep the corruption went. And that even as president, you can't get anything done. If they don't want it, because that's not what's running the show. What is running the show?
Good question. Don't know. I mean, it's the basically the same people that have run it for most of the last few decades. So, I don't think there's going to be that much of a change. A lot of the agencies, a lot of the policies. So, Trump did make some positive impacts on some of Trump's appointees did a good job. But I think Trump himself spent too much time watching TV and playing on Twitter.
Yeah, I didn't pay enough attention to care, but, you know. But yeah, every week we did the Trump Report.
He was simply not able to. Say what?
We did the Trump Report every week for 5 years. I don't know what we're going to do now.
Wow.
All right, here we're coming back.
The Brand Network at LRN.FM.
Hold on.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And James Bovard. Jim Bovard, BOVARD.com. He's got it going on. I tell you, there's a lot of great books. I don't think there's been a president you've been a fan of. I mean, you write about, you know, Clinton, Bush, you know, you don't care. You know, you got a Trump book coming?
Not at the moment.
Yeah, you think that might. Well, what did you think? The Trump administration accomplished what? Anything?
There were some areas where some of his appointees made some progress or at least stopped some growing evil. So there were a lot of things that the Obama administration was doing at the end, and they were, you know, just, you know, racing to issue new regulations and mandates towards the end of his time. And some of Trump's appointees worked hard to block that. Some of them use intelligent things and policies. And then you've got people like John Bolton and Mike Pompeo. Just like, how in the hell did they ever get the job?
Yeah, tell me, where do you think that was from? When Bolton came in, I'm like, why? To fire him? I mean, what was that about?
Trump probably saw him on TV. I don't know. Someone's probably done a very good background on that. I don't know if Trump donor Sheldon Adelson told Trump to hire him or what, but Trump was like he didn't pay that much attention to his job or the government. But the flip side is, there has not been a president since Bill Clinton who seemed to really have a clear idea of much of what the government was doing.
Did Trump get a lesson? Because I think after the first year, he's like, whoa, man, I had no
Trump
idea.
Did Trump get a lesson?
Well, you think?
Has Trump ever learned a damn thing?
I don't know. I think he learned that it was bad. I think he learned that the deep state was a lot more powerful and more prevalent than he thought. I think he thought he was just going to go in and,
well,
you know, overwhelm it, and it didn't happen.
I agree, but simply look at Trump's conduct and how it impacted the Georgia Senate elections earlier this month. I mean, Trump did everything he could to basically screw the Republican candidates.
How's that? What do you think?
That's why the Democrats. Excuse me?
Oh, how's that? I mean, what do you do? Just being Trump, or I mean, what do you?
Oh,
think?
Well, he was throwing temper tantrums. He was making attacks on the Republican governor, the Republican Secretary of State, basically saying the system was rigged. I mean, the vote's going to be fixed. You say that, people aren't going to bother to vote. Plus, there was the thing about the $2,000 stimulus. I mean, you had the Democrats saying, yes, I want to give you $2,000. You had the GOP being prudent and saying, no, I mean, this is going to, wreck the budget and the debt. But Trump says, no, you got to give them $2,000. And so that put the Republican candidates in a horrible position.
Well, what was amazing to me is when they had this, I mean, and it's blatant, it's open, and it just didn't make it in the campaign rhetoric, is that the vast majority of the money went outside of our borders. I mean, it goes to all these countries and everybody else for everything, and then America gets screwed, and then, the people going, $600 I get? What the hell? Oh, $2,000. Well, then it's okay. I guess you can send all that money to everybody else. You know, we've become so un-American. And it's not like Trump helped. You know, there was no... See, this is one of the criticisms that I had. It was always... for 5 years, I waited for him to say, define what America was and what great was. Make America great again.
That's a long damn wait. Yeah, I mean, it's right. Are you still waiting for the Easter Bunny?
Right. I'm just like, America Inc., America Geography, America Borders, American People, Culture, what the hell does that mean? America and her interest, and great was what? How big a mushroom cloud penis head you had or something? I mean, I didn't know what he was talking about. And the point that I made just last week, I was going, look, we had the love bus down at the state capitol. During the 6th of, we're doing it. I said, all right, now I'm coming clean. All right, pick a speech of Ronald Reagan at the end of his first term. I mean, that's where we are with Trump. What did Reagan have to say? What did he get elected on? What is he going to get reelected on? What was it? It was make America great again. But he defined it and said all the great stuff about the downtrodden and the people that need whatever, and the solution was always more freedom. Freedom's the answer. What's the question? Freedom, 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 freedom. The individual and the individual and down to the individual. Well, that was not what Trump could say, because that's not what he believed. Make America great is like a football team or a brand, or it's America. We're going to something, and the whole purpose of the government is like why it's declare your independence. With Ernest Hancock, the Declaration of Independence. The purpose of government is defense of individual rights. When it doesn't do that, it's time to alter, abolish. It's your right, your duty. I'm going boom. I'm in. If you got a government, their only job is to defend the rights of the individual to be left alone and let everybody pursue their own happiness, as long as you're not violating their pursuit and their life and property, we're good. Let's do that. But they can't say it. He can't say it. He gave great speeches. I love the one that he did to the United Nations. Hey, you do you and we'll do us. Peace out. So I'm going, yes, but down to what end? Just so you could be... the biggest aircraft carrier. I mean, it has to go down to the service of freedom of the individual, or you're wasting my time. And what's happened is he's created an environment to where I'm hoping that there's some candidate, somebody, some movement, some something, or some state that's going to go, and we're out of here. Texas secedes on the basis of, freedom. It's going to be a big, giant sucking sound of people going. So I'm just, that's what I'm looking for. And I kept saying for 5 years, what does America mean? What does great mean? And they couldn't even guess. It didn't mean anything to them. It's just whatever Trump says. So do we have hope for the next cycle? What do you think?
Well, hope for what? I mean...
Somebody to advocate greatness with freedom. That's all I want. Our exceptionalism, our greatness, or whatever the hell was based on something. What?
I don't know. I mean, things are ugly right now. So, and I don't see a lot of rays of hope as far as, coming from Washington. So, and, a lot of the Yeah, well, let's leave it there. I don't need to start. Well, anyhow, I'll shut up.
No. I was trying to get you to go. Come on, say it, man. Say it. I know you don't want to say it. Say it. When are you going to go to the mountains and kind of, I'm good. I'll wait this out.
Well, I guess I'll go to the mountains at some point here, assuming, yeah. A lot of unfinished sentences here. I'm running into a pattern here. I don't know. I mean, it's things are a mess, and part of what's striking to me is to see the media reaction now, and it is as if the only thing they've learned from the Trump era is to put the government on a higher pedestal. And it's like, well, this isn't the answer. And, you know, there's going to be a huge effort when Biden takes the oath to say, okay, now it's time to trust the government again. Now we have a president who we should defer to. And it's like, you know, that's the wrong answer. I mean, the clearest lesson I draw from the Trump administration is that every president has too much power, and every president is irresponsible. And, you know, Trump was, so many people are saying, well, Trump has, been such a disgrace, the worst president ever. I'm thinking like, well, you know, as far as we know, he didn't set up a worldwide torture regime or wreck the Middle East with his wars like George W. Bush. So,
yeah, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. But when we go in the final segment with James Bovard, I want to know what's going to be the target of his attention. Does he have another book in line? Is there, you know, an agenda he's trying to espouse? Is there, you know, an agency that's got his attention? What's in his files? Well, what's he working on? We're going to find out. We come back. James Bovard, just a little bit.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Yeah, are you comfortable with that, telling us what you got in line?
Yeah, well, I don't have much in line, so there's not much to say, but, I reckon I should come up with something.
Well, it's to get you out of bed in the morning. What are you looking at? What's your process? You read the Washington Post decide to write something?
Where's the damn coffee? That's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how does, there's, actually, it's pretty dull, so, but that's how it normally has been.
Were you in town, or got to see some of the crowds during the protest and stuff? That
January 6th? No, I mean, if I'd known how much excitement there would have been, I would have gone down there and would have got my old press pass out and tried to slip in to photograph and talk to things, but, I watched Trump's speech live, and it's kind of like it was. It's sad because there are valid points to raise about the election, but when he blathers about "I won by a landslide," it's like, dude, don't give us this shit.
My whole thing was election law. Now, that was, I ran for Secretary of State twice, county recorder, and then, of course, Congress and all this other stuff, and county chairman of the party and behind the scenes of lawsuits all the way to Ninth Circuit, 44 election laws I challenged, blah, blah, blah. So election law was my thing, and I could see this coming. So it was very obvious to me how they were going to do it, and that Maricopa was going to be one of the worst, which it wound up being. And it's because they just they did everything they could to generate more paper, just to get the paper. And then they just have to get it past a line so that they can put it in the machine. Because once that happens, how are you going to pull it out? Well, it wasn't even wrinkled. It wasn't mailed. It was only one voter. It doesn't matter. Well, they generated the paper. They got it in the system. They put it over here. You can count the paper, and it's going to match that they're done. They created the paper. You guys let them. You know, what did you think was going to happen? But the thing is that they don't realize is here in Arizona, Maricopa, most of the fraud in the mid-90s was done by the Republicans. So it's not, it's the same, there's not different entities running this country. It's one. You know, they just have different faces. You know, it's two sides of the same coin. You know, they keep thinking, oh, we're going to do another, no, you're not. You know, whatever. So I had shared my opinion. All right, here we go.
Well, so you can receive our tweets at twitter.lrn.fm. Okay. That's twitter.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With James Bovard. You know, James, I've known for long time, early 90s, he came to Phoenix. They had a big event here where I think it was Future Freedom Foundation put on with Bumper Hornberger, and James was a speaker on his book, Lost Rights, I think it was, which was a really popular book. And we used it when Charles and I were over at Air America. The general manager there, Bob, I can't remember his last name, you know, Bob, he was, you know, always right after the show, he'd come in the studio and he'd give his opinion what he thought was what. And it was kind of the same attitude that's going on now. The government's in the hands of the Democrats now, and it's Obama, and it's all good, and don't worry about it. And, you know, and that's what they were waiting for was, you know, it had a commonality. We didn't like Bush, you know. And we had him read your book. And we go, look, just read this, and you'll see our perspective. About, you know, a few days later, he came back. He must have speed-read it. He goes, damn. You know, damn. Because you knew it was all true. And tell us about that book. You know,
okay. Well, it was a bestseller in the 1990s overall. So it walks people through the dangers of government power. Has a lot of examples, too many footnotes. It was written in a way to appeal to both conservatives and liberals, like on the gun stuff, on the drug war, tried to show the common interest in putting a leash on government. But I want to take a sidestep here and ask you, Ernie, because you've been a statewide candidate in Arizona. You understand how the laws work. Well, and what was your impression? How much fraud or misconduct occurred in the Arizona presidential race? And did that change the outcome of this Arizona for the Electoral College?
Absolutely. It was guaranteed. You could see him build it up for years. But see, the thing is in the 90s, it was the Republicans. You're thinking that it's a Republican-Democrat thing. It's not. It's a they-them-those thing. You know, they'll you know, do whatever interest towards this. You know, it's primarily now in the hands of the left, the Democrats. But this was going on while you had Republican county recorders that had elections directors that were really working for the left. I can give you a gazillion examples, but it's in legislation. You could see what they were doing. They were generating paper. How many ballots can we create? Early balloting, mail-in balloting, you know, making sure every and anybody gets it and mail it out and whatever and how much. Because in 94, they had 60,000 unaccounted for ballots. I mean, we did a lot of research. We filed suit. I've gone to the Ninth Circuit on this stuff. The Libertarian Party here in the state in 08 filed suit against them violating their own fix-it laws for election fraud, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. Doesn't care, don't care. I go, Maricopa is going to be one of the worst. Well, it turned out being one of the worst, and it was a key area. So this is, it's not like I think I know, James. I know! They did it intentionally. They have been for decades. When the computers came in, it gave them the ability to do whatever the hell they want. And now, to any kind of check, you have to check against what? Well, they want to do away with the paper. They couldn't get away from that, so they get, all right, we'll just generate more paper. You know, we'll put it through the system. It passes this line here. The one thing that was simple, I'll just tell you this so you understand. The mail-in, you're supposed to check the signatures. Okay, we got a bunch of paper out there. They come in. We're going to check the signatures. Well, I did a Freedom of Information request in the early 2000s, and we had Arizona Republic newspaper reporter and Clear Channel talk show host, a friend came with, and we had some other activists, and the pressure was on, oh, okay, we're going to let you tour the facility. Well, they didn't know that we knew a lot more about what questions to ask. Well, there was a bunch of them. We saw new equipment that, changing the card, the memory card went into this one laptop before it went. Then that was never on the list of them changing it. And, hard wires going into the county computers as you're doing the election, going off to God knows where. The big thing was when the big giant buckets of, ballots came in from the post office, they didn't deliver them. It's a felony not to deliver the mail. They didn't just, the post office backed up a truck and dumped them. They had a guy in a van go get them. And I'm like, whoa, why aren't you just, we send this guy in the van, guy going, really? Well, who watches him? And then from out of the shadows, some guy came up. Oh, yeah, we have guys follow him. Yeah, that's a ticket. I'm going, where the hell did you come from? And everybody's going, yeah, their spidey senses were going off. Well, when they put them there, they're supposed to, pull up the ballot, scans the barcode, it pulls up their signature on their registration card, and you go, okay, that's good, next. They had three stations and nobody at them. And I go, I want to see your time cards, Freedom of Information. I want to know who's doing this step. Who's counting? Obviously, you don't have enough resources to do it. You're not doing it. I know you're lying. Well, nope, we're not answering, peace be upon thee, and that. They just move the big bin of votes over to the next station. Once you cross that line, then it goes into the machine, and you're done. How can you pull out one secret ballot? So they weren't checking. I knew they weren't checking. So this year when I go and I go, all right, who's checking it? How you doing it now? Oh, it's a private company. We let them do it. Then they tell us which ones they were.
A private company verifies processing, the signatures?
Processing. They decide.
Wow.
It's so bad on so many levels, and it's so much BS that I mean, at what point do you go, I don't believe it anymore? And I've been doing this for 30 years. It's got worse and worse. I remember when I was in a televised debate, and it was during the primary. So there were a couple of Republicans, a couple of Democrats, an independent, and me. And I held up this MacArthur Foundation that's always on some PBS donating money, MacArthur Foundation, whatever it is. And they funded an evaluation through the Census Bureau of these Eagle election computers that we were using at that time then in Texas. And they found out how they were remotely going in. And I had this report, and I go, none of you will even look at this. None of you want to ask the question, and you're whistling past a graveyard. And I put it on this big round, coffee table thing that we were all sitting around as we were doing this televised thing with the newspaper editorial board. And it sat there, this stack of papers on this dark table just glowing throughout the entire debate, and nobody mentioned it. They wouldn't nothing. I was getting all kinds of endorsements from all the colleges and high schools and all that kind of crap. But, of course, nothing, through the major media. They're all part of it. I don't think I know, James. I freaking know for decades it's all BS. For which side?
Okay,
I don't know, whichever.
Okay. Okay, so question I have. Okay, there have been a lot of procedural changes. Was there clear evidence of fraud in Arizona in last year's election? And is there evidence that it was fraud that determined the outcome for the state?
They had a Senate subpoena. A senator goes, look, I want to see the ballots. We'll go ahead, we'll just check it. And they go, nah, we're not doing it. And I went through this in 06. In 04 election cycle for President Bush and Kerry, I think it was then, or was it Obama and whatever, doesn't matter. It was one of the elections.
It was Kerry in 2004.
Yeah, 2004, they had competing election fraud. What happened is it got within 50 votes, some legislative race, which triggers recount. Well, then there was more ballots. There's 500 extra ballots came in from somewhere, and this guy wins. So then they challenged that. Then the software was corrupt. Then it was back and forth. It kept going back and forth. One of the state senators goes, look, we're done with this. Just bring all the ballots here in the Senate caucus room. We'll just hand count them. I mean, you're just going to count them. Well, what he didn't realize is there's a law that they had up to that time that I've been complaining about. They made it illegal for you to use a hand count as the official tabulation. You had to keep running it through the same machine again. Yep, that's what it says. Let's push the button again. Yep, that's what it says again. So then I'm going, I guarantee there's fraud. So they put the microphone in my face. All right, a crazy libertarian, how do you know? I go, they made it illegal to find it. How much do you need to know? Well, then when he did that, within a couple of hours, the FBI, without claim of jurisdiction or anything, showed up at Maricopa County elections, took all the ballots, and you never heard about it again. I'm telling you, I don't think I know, James. It's all bullshit. I don't believe in the election process. It's just an opportunity to put up signs. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. So that's why I did the level
boost. So Ernie, you should write an article on what happened in Arizona last year.
Hey. It's been detailed by, a bunch of people. I've done shows on it. It doesn't matter. I write an article if you make me, But the, any evidence that this was not fraudulent, any of the elections have not been fraudulent, that I haven't seen it.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1990.
Over so much over here. I mean, you asked me the question.
It's fine. It's good. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Are
you still there?
I was hoping to get you all worked up on this stuff, that you had. Yeah, if you were to look at, if you were ever to do an article on this, it's real simple. You just read the election law, and you can see what they did. They took and they wanted to create as much paper as they could. And if you find out how they processed the paper, who did it? Who checked the signatures? Nobody asked. They didn't even check the signatures. Well, some states, they're supposed to. Somehow they did, Well, a lot of them, they just don't. We don't have to. Screw you. Everybody gets to vote. Well, here in Arizona, you're supposed to. Well, who did? Well, I know it was either nobody or they said somebody did. We contracted that out. They said it was okay. So how am I supposed to have any faith in elections?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying people should have faith in elections, but it'd be very helpful to have specifics on how the vote was shifted. Partly, it's frustrating to hear some of these Trump supporters, his lawyers, for instance, Giuliani. I mean, those folks come across as being full of shit. I think there are specific details in some states. I don't know that they changed the election results.
Systemic.
But, it doesn't make sense to whitewash the entire election.
Well, no, what they were doing is they were trying to get access. See, they blocked access to the machines, how it was actually done, when they want to get, we need a subpoena, we need to have, give us them, and they go, no. Then some state senator goes, yeah, give them the stuff, I want the subpoena, I give you a Senate subpoena, and they go, no. And then it was just a waiting game. They're just dragging it out. So the evidence that you needed, the bad guys had, but for me, I didn't need that. I just did a freedom of information request. I just want a time, Sky, because what they did when they demonstrated to me with reporters sitting right there, it took 10 seconds at least for the computer to bring it up and you kind of compare it and go to the next one. 10 seconds times 2 million or whatever the hell it was, just for the county is a million something. You do that. All right, how much time is that? Okay, show me who did it. Hell no. We're not showing you shit. Okay. So they knew that's why Maricopa was so bad, but they've been doing it for a long time. Philadelphia, they kind of cut some corners. Hell, I've been training Maricopa County. So when Patrick Byrne comes in and goes, whoa, Maricopa County, holy shit. I go, yeah. I trained them. So they're going, look, this signature checking thing, yeah, damn it. Somebody's going to do a freedom of information. They're going to do an Ernie on us with some clout and some lawyers, and then we're going to be in the trouble. We need to get that, say this private guy did it. Yeah, get Fred in charge. You know, go blame him over there. So this logic and accuracy testing is all bullshit. I've been through that. I'm telling you, James, this was what got me started in politics. It was my father's company. You know, there was the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act of 88. I saw the New World Order before I even heard the term. It was fascism, government and business mixing in that legislation. It was an inch law, thick law. And I read, I'm going, holy shit. How do they get away? I know this is fascism from freaking junior high. How do they get away with this? So I went through the election process in 90. I registered as a write-in to give me standing to file a federal lawsuit in U.S. District Court. It went all the way. I was my own attorney. Oral argument. I argued at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in December of 94. I went through it 2.5 years, and they kept changing all kinds of laws and putting stays on it and whatever. The attorney general's office in Arizona working with me, oh, we'll be good. And God, no, I don't trust any of y'all. Well, it finally came to a head. I knew how they did it. I read all the laws. I saw what the changes they were making. I got so many Ernie laws, I can't even keep track of them. What happened was they were hiding and preparing for the computerization of election fraud. And I screamed it at the top of my lungs, showed every step of it, and there were people in the Republican Party that came and showed me what they were doing in 94. And he resigned as the executive director. He's going, look, man, you're right, Ernie. I'll show you what they're doing. When they started doing the early balloting, I just give you this one quick story, you'll understand. What the Republicans did is they sent out a request for an early ballot, because this is Symington wanted Phil Graham from Texas to get a leg up and move the primary earlier in Arizona, whatever. It's all political bullshit. But what they did is they go, all right, we have three races that we want to target. John Kyle, we want him to go from Congress to U.S. Senate. We want John Shattuck to be in Congress, and we want Symington for governor. So those were the three targeted races. The Republican Party brought in an IBM barcode reader that took up a whole big room. They brought me in and showed it to me. What they did is they sent to every Republican voter a early ballot request form, okay? So this barcoded postcard thing got mailed to the elections department of blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't the county elections. It was the Republican Party P.O. box. They got the request. Then they were sending it to Maricopa County elections, give these guys an early ballot. The reason they didn't want to send it to Maricopa directly is because they called all, they had a big phone bank, and they called all the Republican voters. And they go, who are you voting for this race, this race, this race? If you answered correctly, your early ballot request got sent to the county. If you didn't, it got thrown in the dumpster where we were dumpster diving and the Libertarians, and we found them.
And I go, wow, that's great.
I go, what the fuck is this? And that was Tamara Clark at a Las Vegas, because they were dumpster diving at our headquarters. She goes, I go, what the hell is that? They're taking the trash. She goes, they're dumpster diving. You don't do that? Vince Soprenowicz was the one that introduced her to us. She goes, well, get in the pickup.
That's great.
Let's go. Let's go. So we went down there, and there was a line. I mean, there was people waiting. Oh, we're first. You know, okay. You know, and then we go in. We found a bunch of these cards. I go, what the hell is this? The executive director of the county Republican Party came to me, and he's like, oh, let me tell you what's up. And I'm like, holy shit. I got to get to my next guest. But, yeah, no, I don't think I know, man. I know. I've been through this so many ways.
All right, hey, well, thanks. That's a great story.
And there's a bunch like it. All right, man.
Wow.
Thanks. Talk to you later, buddy.
Thanks.
Bye.